Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to a Let's Talk. We've got another interesting topic today, but before we begin, I want to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this particular one, I was actually thinking about this particular one on the way in today, and I'll explain to you why. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that if a person sends salutations and Durood e Pak upon me 1,000 times in a day, he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise.
Subhanallah.
Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Now here in the Western countries, the majority of the people either rent the house, or they're in the process of buying a house and they have some sort of a loan or a mortgage or whatever it is. Now, if I was to say to you that recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 1,000 times in a day, and your rent is forgiven, you keep that house, how many would give it up? Allah. If I was to say to you recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1,000 times in a day, and rather than getting a house in paradise, I get your house in Manchester, I think everybody would recite it. And this is the problem. This is where it lies, that our mindset is such that everything revolves around the dunya rather than the akhirat. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that if you recite Durood e Pak 1,000 times a day, you will not die until you've seen your place, yes, your place in paradise. And obviously, without a doubt, there's no discussion. A house in paradise is worth every house in this dunya. So please make it a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know it's not part of the topic, so please forgive me. I think people that watch me on Madani Channel know that I keep on going off on tangents, and I do apologize once again. Before we start the program properly, we're going to go to the Tilawat of the Quran. MashaAllah, Hafiz Saab is with us again, and he is going to recite some verses of the Holy Quran. Ji, Hafiz Saab.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا ورضوا بالحياة الدنيا واطمأنوا بها والذين هم عن آياتنا غافلون أولئك مأواهم النار بما كانوا يكسبون إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم تجري من تحتهم الأنهار في جنات النعيم دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. Viewers of the channel, we had the blessed opportunity, the honor, in fact, to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I say it literally every time I come on Madani Channel, that we need to make it part of our daily routine. That if we cannot read, then at least listen to a few verses of the Holy Quran. And if you watch Madani Channel throughout the day, then inshallah, you will many programs in which the Quran is recited, and it gets you the opportunity to listen to the Quran. But better still is to read it, and better still is to read it with the family, with translation and commentary, inshallah, as a family, just three verses of the day. I mean, Sunnah, the founder of Islam, has encouraged us to read three verses of the Holy Quran every day with translation and commentary. Make it part of your daily routine. It'll take up all of 7 minutes. All of 7 or 8 minutes is all that I'm asking you to do. And inshallah, you will see a change. A change will come into your life, inshallah. Viewers of the channel, before we introduce the topic, I'm delaying it, Anna. I keep on delaying this topic. But before we introduce the topic of the day, mashallah, Hafiz Saab has brought his son with him today, and mashallah, his son is going to recite a few verses of Anath, mashallah. Ji beta.
Sallallahu alayka ya, ya Rasool Allah, wa sallam alayka ya Habib Allah. Bulalo pi mujhe shah hai baharo bar madine mein bulalo pi mujhe shah hai baharo bar madine mein bulalo pi mujhe baharobar madine mein phir hota hua tere dar par madine mein paanchu ko jana mein gare baja kaise na ja main paanchu ko jana mein gare baja kaise na ja gira de ka ja mujhko sho kehte paakar madine mein bula lo phir mujhe aisa hai baharo bar madine mein madine ja ne walo ja o jao fi amanillah madine ja ne walo ja o jao fi amanillah kadi to ap abhi lag ja ega bistar madine mein bula lo phir mujhe aisa hai baharo par madine mein na daulat de na shohrat de mujhe bas ye saadat de na daulat de na shohrat de mujhe bas ye saadat de tere kadmon mein mar jaau mero ro kar madine mein bula lo phir mujhe aisa hai baharo bar madine mein phir rota hua aao tere dar par madine mein
MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Let's Talk, MashaAllah, beautiful kalam there about requesting the final message of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to call us to the blessed city of Medina. I request you all to do dua for us, we will do dua for you, that we can all be amongst those fortunate people that can visit the sacred lands as often as possible. Viewers of Mother Channel, today the topic that we have for the program today is the value of education. Now, education is not merely about books, exams, and degrees. In Islam, knowledge is a light that guides a person towards truth and a better life. The very first revelation in the Quran began with the command, read. This shows that knowledge is the foundation of both spirituality and worldly success. Today, inshallah, we will explore why education is important, how it shapes our character, and how it can transform individuals and society. But again, before we go to our honorable guests that are eagerly waiting here, we've got the question of the day. If I didn't have Hafiz Saab here, where would I be? Can we have the question of the day, please, on the screen?
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
Which surah is known as the heart of the Quran? Which surah is known as the heart of the Quran? Again, I think it's a very easy question. Coming back to the topic of the day, Bilal Bhai, as we mentioned, that the first revelation that came down emphasized knowledge. And from this, we realize that seeking knowledge is a noble act of Islam. Why is education important then?
I mean, Halida, if you break it from the start, I think education is very important because it helps people learn how the world works. So with the current society that we are living, the current environment that we are living in, it's changing day by day. So with education, alhamdulillah, you're able to learn how you're going to fit in into the society. And like you mentioned, it teaches the basic right, you know, basic essentials, as we used to say, like reading, writing, critical thinking, problem solving, which are needed for everyday life work. So, for example, whichever field you may be in, or if you're thinking of going into a particular field, you know, education will provide you all the skill sets. And then also it gives you, nowadays, when we look at the expectations in terms of everyday life, cost of living, etc. So if you have good education, if you have a high skill set, then inevitably it's going to have an effect on your incomes, what you earn, whatever job role you're going to go into. It gives you the basic necessities. So it's very important that we focus on education as much as we do. And also within the education as well, it gives the people, so the people that are going through education, gives them the, you know, the time to think that, hang on a minute, this is something that I'm learning. How am I going to learn? And inshallah, Zawajal, you know, through that thinking, through that procedure, they're able to pave their own way, inshallah.
Hafsab, you know, Bilal Bhai mentioned there that education, people get educated so that hopefully a time will come that they'll get a better job. So they get the degree, or they get the master's degree, or they go and get an apprentice or whatever. But does education just serve for that purpose? Does it not education provide a base for us to, for someone's character, for someone's values? Does it not put an emphasis on that as well?
I think if I talk about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talab al-ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim. This is Islamically that learning or education is important for every Muslim. Now, one of the most important things is that it removes ignorance and it makes a person understand who they are. I want to mention a story. You know, every day after Asr Salah, the shaitan gathers all his chelis, he gathers all of them together and he asks them, what have you done today? And one says, I made two brothers fight, and he says, okay, sit down. The other one, he asks him, what have you done? I made a husband and wife fight each other. And he goes, okay, sit down. And one person, one jinn stands up and he says, what have you done? He goes, I stopped a student from learning his education.
Allah.
And he stands up and he hugs him and he kisses him. And the other guys, they say, what has he done that is better than us? And he goes, I'm going to show you practically what he's done. So he takes him to a village where it's time for Fajr Salah and everyone's hurrying to the masjid. And he meets an old man and he stops him and he goes, just a couple of minutes, I'm going to take off you. You know, this bottle that I got in my hand, can Allah fit the whole universe in this small bottle? And that old man wasn't educated. He was a Namazi, but not educated. And he says, you know, are you joking with me? How can the whole universe fit in this small bottle? So the shaitan says to him, it's okay, carry on, your namaz is getting late. Then the Imam Sahib is walking through the masjid and he stops him as well. And he says to him, I just want to ask you a question. Can Allah fit the whole universe in this small bottle? And the Imam Sahib says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It looks like you're the shaitan. Forget one universe. Allah can fit many, many universes in this small bottle. So the answer is that the first person denied the power of Allah Azza wa Jalla and therefore went away from Islam. So this is what education is. It makes you understand, especially your creator. Without education, they say, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that someone who doesn't have education is like someone who's dead. And in this education we're talking about is Islamic education.
But I think two aspects you've both touched upon. You've touched upon the fact that education is something that can be utilized, that is needed in modern day world to be able to progress in this dunya, so to speak, to be able to progress in a career. And you've mentioned the other aspect of education were to become aware of your creator, to become aware of who your Rabb is. But what about me? What about education to improve me from a spiritual point of view? What about education to impact on my character and my soul? Isn't that important as well?
That is very important. I think Halabai is very crucial to remember that education, like we obviously touched upon two types of education, worldly education and also the deen aspect. So to make your character as whole, because if we focus on one type of education, for example, I'm talking about worldly education. We know, I mean, I know many people that are so in worldly education, but are they good people? No, because they're focused upon their work. They think work, 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 because that's what they've been taught from a very young age. They were given the mindset that education and everything. So they've lived their life in textbooks and everything. So at times when you like to have a conversation with them, you know, it's virtually hard because, you know, they're like robots. You know, they're not proper human beings. So it's very important that Hafsah mentioned that we have a best of both worlds, that we have that balance. So especially Islam teaches us how to balance both things. And inshallah, by having Islamic education, you are able to become a good person, ultimately.
But Bilal, hasn't it put on us now, in the modern day world now, you know, when you talk about education, people feel, I mean, what Hafiz Habib said is, put that to one side for one second. But what you said is that the modern day world is such that people get educated purely for a job.
Yes.
Right? That's the mindset that I want to get educated for a job. Where when you read about our pious predecessors, that they would struggle and strive for knowledge, that they would travel thousands of miles, they would sacrifice days, weeks, years of their life acquiring knowledge. They didn't acquire that knowledge for a job. So has our focus changed when
it comes to
knowledge?
I can remember when Nigrani Shura did a bayan in Salford University and he gathered all the students and he asked them a question, why are you doing this certain topic? Why are you doing this certain degree? Nearly everyone said, you know, better pay, you know, better pay result. And Nigrani Shura said that if you just change your intention, that whatever you are doing, you're going to serve your deen. Okay, you might earn a lot of money, but that lot of money will make you pay a lot of zakat as well. So ultimately, you're going to be serving your deen and you're going to be serving your Rabb Azza wa Jalla just with one change of an intention.
But I think also, you know, but Bilal Bhai, isn't that everybody, you know, when a father sits down with their son now or with their daughter to talk about education, the sole purpose is a career. The sole purpose is a job. The sole purpose is not to, okay, beta, you know, do physics, yeah? And when you do physics, you'll get a good job as a physics teacher or a physician or whatever it is. But at the same time, in doing physics, you'll be able to see through the subject of physics. You'll be able to see your creator, be able to understand your creator through this. And I think if every subject that you do, I mean, I did electronic engineering. If I look at my engineering, you know, papers that I read and the books that I read, and I can see that, you know, through this, you can see the creation effectively. Yes. But people don't focus on that.
I mean, the mindset from a very young age, for example, as a father or as a mother, they sit down with their children and obviously they say, what you want to be? So nowadays, when you look at their kids, you know, they focus on money, whatever job that's going to give them X amount of money. They're never focused on that. These are the aspects. So this is something that I think within the family that we should introduce, that when you talk about these certain decisions. And also, Halabai, it's very important that we also look at the person, what their expertise are, what their skills are. Because naturally, Alhamdulillah, Allah gives everybody a unique characteristic. And we need to invest in that. At times, what happens within families, there might be a doctor, there might be a pharmacist, there might be a lawyer, for example. And the aspirations are there. Oh, I want to become like them because they earn money, they drive a good car. But ultimately, what is inside me? What is special about me? What can I enhance myself in? So it's very important. Like you mentioned, also, we need to teach them through that is worldly education, but this is what Islam teaches us.
I think about Harvey, your question was that why does education matter? You know, a good educated person can contribute to the society positively as well. And a good educated person, when you talk to them, you can easily understand that this person educated. I was in Makkah Sharif and we took a taxi driver and we just started to talk to him from Pakistan. And when he was talking, straight away I said, "Mashallah, brother, you know, you sound very educated." He goes, "I used to work in an accountancy office." And I goes, "Mashallah, so now you're in Makai Park." And again, his intention was for money, you know. And I said to him that, "Mashallah, why don't you pursue your career?" So that means that when you talk to someone, you can find out if that person is educated or not.
I think, though, you know, the whole purpose of education, as you say, and I think generally people want to get educated so they can have a better job. But, you know, we mentioned that story the other day of the fisherman.
Yeah?
That, you know, people, the idea, why do you want a better job? Yes. So you can have a nice car, a better house, a better income, not worried about paying your bills, so that you can have peace.
Yes.
Yeah. Ultimately, people are looking towards education as a means to attain peace. But then you see those people that are educated, that are very rich, they've not achieved that peace.
No.
So, you know, unless you have that religious aspect inside you, that mindset inside you, you'll never achieve peace. And there's that famous story that me and Afsa, we mentioned it the other day, that there was a fisherman and he was sitting there on his boat, chilling. Yeah. And someone said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm chilling, I'm relaxing, I'm enjoying my life." And they said, "Why don't you, you know, catch a few more fish?" And he went, "Okay, then what?" He said, "Well, if you catch a few more fish, then you can get a bigger boat." He said, "Okay, and then what?" He said, "You can catch more fish and store more fish on there, and then what? And then you can get people working." So, and they carried on, "Then what? And then what?" To the extent where he become a, you know, an exporter of fish to the whole of the world. And when it got to that extent, then he kept on saying, the fisherman kept on saying, "And then what?" And then he said, "And then you can chill." And he said, "Well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm chilling now, I'm relaxing now." And so, you know, what is the purpose of education? If the purpose of education should be, yes, I'm not denying the purpose of education to acquire that knowledge so that you can get, be educated so that you can have a good livelihood, but the purpose of education should be to get that inner peace. And you know, what does, you know, what does Islam teach us about the importance of seeking knowledge? And what does, how can Muslims balance that religious knowledge and that worldly knowledge, that right balance that they need to have in their lives? Because you get people that, you know, get highly qualified at the university, but then ask them to read the Salah, they don't know how to do it. Then you've got, you know, other people, and again, I've even seen it, unfortunately, that some scholars, you know, when it comes to basic worldly knowledge, they haven't got a clue.
You know, the
but
thing
how
is
do you get the right balance?
You know, if you look at our pious predecessors, like Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa, these people, they were not just scholars, they were businessmen as well. So alhamdulillah, they had both worlds. Now, this is what Islam, you know, you look at the people that were made algebra, they were all Muslims, but yeah, they contributed to the society as well. Now, we live in a time where the shaitan has made this biggest fitna that deen is something else, dunya is something else. Allah, our pious predecessors lived in the same dunya, but they were educated in the deen and the dunya as well. You know, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if you were to gather his wealth with what he had at that time, it'll go into billions of pounds. That's how rich he was. But every single penny, you look at the famous incident of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when, you know, he had so many camels loaded with goods, but he gave every single one to the safe for the sake of deen. So these people, mashallah, they were educated, they were loaded, they were businessmen, they were rich people. But today now, we think that if I become, the famous incident happened on Madani channel, where someone said that, if I make my son a Maulvi, where is he going to eat from? And then we say, Maulvi khane bone. Hold on a minute. One place you say where they're going to eat from, and then you say they eat too much. You know, so we're just confused in our minds as well.
But how can Muslims balance that religious education with modern education?
So with that, Halabai, they have to prioritize both. So when they are from a very young age, as a father, as a mother, we need to give them the basic values of both. So beta, yes, we want you to be successful in the dunya. Also, there's a religious obligation on us that we want to, this is what Islam teaches us. So if we just focus on one aspect, then we're not going to have that balance. It's all going to be a seesaw where the dunya will be, you know, it will be outweighing the Islamic. So, you know, like they manage, you know, we prioritize, you know, within a job, we might have certain tasks that we do. So we prioritize the tasks. Whatever needs to be completed first, we will do that first. And we have certain set times. So if we have that within the both dunya aspect and the religious aspect, that's easy. So for example, in the morning or for 8 or 9 hours, you know, you're going to go and work. But inshallah, in the evening or the morning, whatever you want to do it, you want to set aside a specific time to learn the religious knowledge. So if you prioritize both tasks and give them the ahmiyat both equally, then inshallah, azawajal, you'll be able to balance it easily.
You know, Bilalbi, I went to someone's house and they were getting some food ready, obviously.
Inshallah.
So they were getting some food ready. And the guy went to get some food and his son was there and he was a doctor, mashallah. So I started talking to Dr. Saab and I go to Dr. Saab, mashallah. So, you know, was it difficult? It was a really difficult journey, but I've got there now. I goes, okay, mashallah. What about your Islamic? Can you read the Quran? No, I didn't get enough time in it to read the Quran. Yaqeem Ane did not even know how to read the first kalma properly. La ilaha illallah Muhammad, Dar Rasulullah. And I said, when that guy, he came for 5 minutes, he started talking about his son, how, you know, he went through. And I said, Hazrat, your son doesn't know how to read the first kalma properly. You know, okay, he's a doctor. He's a doctor. So, you know, what is he going to contribute to the society? So I think You know, alhamdulillah, you know, my son, mashallah, he's a hafiz as well, the younger one, and he's becoming a doctor as well. That doesn't stop him. So what happened was we planned it. That look, when you're 8 years old, 9 years old, now you're going to do hifaz. When he was 13, 14, alhamdulillah, completed his hifaz, and now you can do whatever you want. So we got both of the worlds, and it's easy. You know, people sometimes say, oh, it's difficult. It's not difficult.
And Alabai, I think you mentioned once that, you know, a knowledge person, so for example, if the person focuses on the dunya, you know, sometimes it happens. And if he doesn't have the basic fundamental teaching of Islam, he's, mazallah, at times, you know, I think it was yourself that mentioned that a person, his father passed away, and he started Googling that what is the cheapest way to bury somebody.
Yeah. I think, but that...
And when you look at those stories, you know, it gives you a massive eye-opener that, you know, we need to focus on the deen aspect as well. So whether
but
it
why,
be...
why is it, you know, we can see why worldly education has been given importance. Because worldly education, people see the goal. People see the goal of the good job,
yes,
the six-figure salary, the house. They see that goal. And because of that, you know, if worldly education is either completely negated, or it's something that is done part-time, or it's done something that, you know, we'll worry about it later, why is our Muslims not given the importance to the knowledge of the deen, and they only give the importance to the knowledge of the dunya?
I think what's happened is society has become such that people are, mazallah, scared to make their, you know, children alim e deen, hafiz e Quran. Okay, my son becomes an alim e deen, where is he going to go after that? That's what people are questioning. You know, there's no jobs in the masajid. There's no, what's his career going to be? But then that's where you need to have your dunya in as well. You know, alhamdulillah, as well in Dawat Islami, there are many institutions where they're hafiz, like Darul Madina, you know, where mashallah, they do the worldly aspect and they do the dunyavi aspect as well.
But then isn't that the problem though, Hafiz Sahib, that we've separated the two? Historically, as you mentioned, the pious predecessors, the madrasa was the place where they got deen and dunya. And what we've done now, we've separated it.
Yes.
Now you go to this institute for deen and you go to this institute for dunya. And because it's separate, then you might go to one and you might not go to the other.
This is where Darul Madina comes in. That's why Amir al-Sunnah started Darul Madina. We can have both of them. And inshallah, our first batch of Darul Madina students were all Hafiz al-Quran.
MashaAllah. I think it's very important as parents that they understand the importance of giving the children and Islamic knowledge. Me and Afisa, we went to Europe on a kafla, and we were looking for the masjids and going to the masjids, giving Nikki out. And at the end of the day, we did a Google of where can we get something to eat, and it came up with, I think, Pakistani restaurant. Pakistan,
yeah.
We thought, you know, definitely that's halal, yeah, so let's go there, yeah. I don't know, it was miles away, but we went there, and I remember we went there and we parked up, and outside, you know, Pakistani restaurant. We even took a picture, didn't we? Yeah, outside this Pakistan restaurant. Because it was like, we'd not met any Pakistanis there. So then we went in and we sit down, and it's like, what restaurants were probably like here in the 70s and 80s, you know, the decor and everything. Yeah? And Hafiz Sahib all of a sudden called the waiter over and said, can you please switch this off? Yeah. And he said, why? He said, this music, you know, it's kufr. The words that are being sung.
The words that were playing were kufriya.
Actually, words that were being sung, they were kufr, and they didn't realize. So he said, I didn't realize. So he kind of, I think he switched it off. So then that kind of like triggered off his help, yeah? He thought to himself, I could see his mind working then. He kind of like said to
when
him,
he was working at that time, yeah.
Yeah, let's not stop here, let's carry on.
So he kind of like said to him that, you know, how long have you been here? And he said, 18 years.
Allah.
Right? He said, mashallah. Where's the nearest masjid? And he said, it's about 3 hours away, wasn't it? Because we'd been searching for these, about 3 hours. Okay. So then some of his children came in to help him, you know, serve the food. Hey, Marshall, is that your son? Yeah. How old is he? 16. Okay. Does he know how to read the Quran? No. Does he know how to read the Nawaz? No. And Officer Ab said, you know, Officer Ab just like looked at him and said, you know, what have you achieved really? And I think that's a problem really where, you know, our goals have gone different.
We took a kafla to another country. I'm not going to mention the country.
Yeah, I didn't mention the country either.
Yeah. And we went to that kafla. And the Islamic brothers were living there 40 years ago. So for 40 years, they've been settled there. And there's no masjid, there's no madrasa. Some of them take Fazan Online Academy. And I said to him, look, you've been here for 40 years. What have you done in 40 years? Alhamdulillah, our fathers came to the UK in the late 70s, 80s. We had masajid everywhere. You couldn't even build one masjid. And they said that our plan was that we're going to stay here a couple of years and we're going to move on. And for 40 years, that's what we've been thinking.
Allah.
And now our children are getting older. They don't know how to read the Quran. They don't know nothing about the deen because there's no one to teach them.
Another similar kafla, Bilal Bhai, went to another place in Europe. And because obviously they had this get up, some Muslims saw this individual from Dawah Islami and called him and said, you know, someone from our community has passed away. People have all gathered. We need someone to lead the namaz-e janaza. So the Mubalik said, yeah, okay, no problem. So he comes there and they put the body at the front in a box. And luckily, the Mubalik went, and he went, no, I'm not leading the namaz-e janaza. And they thought, oh, what's happened now? And the body had been dressed in a suit and a tie and Allah a jacket and boots and everything. And no ghusl had been performed whatsoever, right? So the Mubalik then explained to them, look, you know, this the body needs to have the ghusl, you know, and there's a kafan, and they're, we didn't know. And then it just makes you think what is happening around the world. And like, these are the sort of things that are not in the middle of the Amazon jungle, you know, where things are like that. And like, within Dawah Islami that are watching this program now, that mashallah, you have a mindset, and that's why you're watching this program, that you've tuned into my Madani channel, because you want to gain Islamic knowledge. But I think a lot of us, I'm pretty sure it's true, that we live in a bubble. And that bubble is that we think everybody's either like us, or maybe a bit better than us, or a bit worse than us. Yeah, but they're very similar to us, yeah? That everybody out there is like that. That everybody, you know, there'll be people out there that we know, okay, yeah, we know there's people out there that maybe don't read all the namaz, but they might just read the Eid namaz, and there's people out there that just read the Friday namaz. We know about that, you know? Now, on the way here, I was seeing this social media post, and it was about the different types of Muslim. And it said the first type of Muslim is he that reads his namaz just on Eid. And then there's a second type of Muslim that reads his namaz on Friday. I'm thinking, hold on a minute, there's Muslims before that. There's Muslims out there that don't read the namaz on Eid. There's Muslims out there that don't go on Salat al-Jummah. There's Muslims out there that are so far away from the deen. And where are they?
You know, I used to go to a family in a place to teach their son, you know, just once a week. Both of my parents were doctors. And my first day, I can remember, I went inside and I said, mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. And he goes, yeah. I goes, do you know the name of the prophet? He goes, yeah, beloved prophet. I goes, what was his name? Don't know. You know, so he didn't know the name of the prophet. That makes you understand that, you know, Tika parents were educated, but is that how much love we have for the deen that, you know, your madrasa is only just once a week? Why once a week? Because we want him to concentrate more. We want him to become a doctor as well. So our mindset has totally changed towards the dunya as well.
And then, Afzab, it's very, I think, important to remember that whatever happens, happened. So if something happened within a family, so for example, they fall in traditions, they've never been taught it. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the mind to think. So ultimately, you know, we go through these circles, you know, so there is a time where every person does think, hang on a minute, I'm a Muslim, I have a purpose. Have I read the Quran? And especially in the month of Ramadan, it's a constant reminder, because we are forgetful people. Every day when we wake up for sahur, you know, you should be thanking Allah Almighty for giving you another day. You know, you went to sleep, you woke up. So think, prioritize, hang on a minute. Yes, I am successful in the dunya, but what am I doing Islamically? And you need to make that change now. Because ultimately, like I've been mentioning, they've been living there for 40 years, they never made that change. If that person 40 years ago made that change, hang on a minute. Yes, we did come for a month or 2 months, but we're here, we're living here, this is our permanent home. See, now we need to make that change.
No, Bilal Bhai is like the father whose son was a doctor. I said, why did you make him a doctor? Vasina, he was laughing and he goes, you know, Afsab, if I fall ill, at least I've got someone to take care of me. I goes, what if you die? Do you have someone to read your janaza as well?
No,
I goes, but I'm sorry to say, but your son, if he doesn't know how to read the kalima properly, when you die, who's going to read your janaza? Forget leading it.
But then is the, you know, I was going to ask about the youngsters, that what challenges do the youngsters face in acquiring education? But is the problem really with our elders, with the parents?
The sad fact is that, there is a problem there as well.
With the elders?
Yes. You know, let me give you an example. MashaAllah, we had Haji Siddiq, who read Siratul Jinan 20 times.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, there's so many elders, same age as him, they don't know how to read the Quran. So the reason was that they've never taken that interest in learning the deen. Now, if that is the state of the elders, if you look down, what about the children? How are they going to be like?
But I think, you know, you mentioned that our elders came to the UK and built the mosque. When they came, they also had a mindset that the ikhlaq rupiah bin asaat of apa shahri, they had this mindset that we're going to make 1 lakh rupees and then go back. But then I think, thankfully, they quickly realized that that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah? That they weren't going to go back and they were going to stay here. And as soon as the Muslims start. I mean, in my hometown, what made the first mosque be built in our hometown was the fact that a Muslim passed away. And when the Muslim passed away and they had to take the body to another town, and the Imam Sahib said to him that, you know, what kind of Muslims are you? That you dragged the body here? That, you know, what kind of Muslims are you? You've been living there that long. And so the Muslims then opened the mosque. And I think, you know, people nowadays look down on, you know, they make fun of people that are opening masjids, they make fun of people that are opening madrasas, and don't realize the importance of that knowledge, the importance of protecting that identity and the iman of our future generations. Because it's of little concern to them.
Exactly
though.
The same scenario why we have Ghousiyah Masjid in Dewsbury. Someone passed away and they were going to offer the ghusl in the hospital and read the janazah in the hospital as well. And that's when someone realized and said that, you know, we need a masjid now.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, they got together and they built that masjid today we have.
But then nowadays, people look down on them institutes. You know, why is it? I mean, coming back to the point, how can families encourage the children to value learning? Value, when I say value learning, we know that they value the dunya learning.
Mm-hmm.
We know that they value the degree. We know that they, but how can we encourage the families and the children on this program to value Islamic knowledge?
Be positive. I think, Halibai, it's very important that I'm trying to sell something for them. I'm a salesman. If I'm not positive, if I'm not trying to sell it with the 100% yakin, then that person's not going to buy it off me. So it's very important that when we introduce Islam, especially for the youngsters, especially within the family, that we encourage it, we have a positive take on it. Koi masla nahi hai. You know, at the end of the day, you make your child maybe lacking in certain areas, but we always, like I was saying, we always dig them. We don't have a positive way.
Allah.
So we need to be good role models as well. So at the end of the day, if I'm not practicing myself, how can I expect my children or my forthcoming generations to follow?
The thing is, it's a need. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the father's duty is to teach his children how to read the Quran. You know, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love of his the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the father's duty.
But Afisab, they don't see that as a duty. They don't see that as the responsibility. They see it as the responsibility that I get them the best clothes, I get them the best games console, I get them the best phone, I get them the degree, and I get them like a, you know, 20,000 a wedding, and you know, make sure that the Rolls Royce, and that's my responsibility. They don't see that as their responsibility, Afisab.
And again, because of that, then the environment that's been created is, there's the talaq ratio has gone up. Mufti Sahib, I was talking to him, 60% talaq ratio.
You know, but you know, you mentioned that the doctor said that, the father said, my doctor son will look after me. A doctor, you'll know him, I don't want to mention his name, and he said to me that in his hospital, his boss, he said, I'm a specialist, and I reckon he was on about 100k a year, right? And because he said to me that my boss is on £150,000 a year.
Right?
He said, my boss is on £150,000 a year, and one day I went to him, and I was just asking about him, and I knew that his mother wasn't well. And I asked him, how's your mother? He said, she keeps on hanging on, I don't know why she doesn't go.
Allah.
Right? And I was like,
Muslim?
What? No, thankfully not Muslim, yeah.
Okay.
And when asked him why, you know, why is it? He said, well, you know, when she dies, I'll get all the inheritance. At the moment, she's just like spending all of my money. Basically, the money that she's got is mine, in his mindset. It's my money, he's spending on it. When she's gone, I can have it all. So, you know, I say to the parents out here now that it's not necessarily that if you make yourself a son, a doctor, that he will look after you. And I think, you know, Islam is not just about the rituals. Islam is not just about reading the Quran. Islam is not just about all of these things, but the emphasis that it gives on the character of an individual, that the role model of an individual, the emphasis that you will hear imams up and down the country many, many times talking about the importance of the parents, the importance of the mother, the importance of the father, the responsibilities that we all have, and unfortunately, Muslims don't have them.
The Quran Shura once mentioned a story that a person, you know, he has three children, two of them worldly educated, one of them like me, not done anything, geology, Quran. So they made him a Hafiz Quran. And the person they meet after a few years and he goes, oh, so now how's your children? He goes, well, two become doctors, what about the third one? Or what about, he asked him, he goes, what about the other one that you made a Hafiz Quran? He goes, you know what, he's the one that I live with. Yeah. Because the two of them have left me and he's the one that taking care of me.
I know a parent that said to me once that they weren't keen on their son being involved with Dawat Islami. Right. I thought, you know,
I've been through a lot of that.
You know, they weren't keen on the son being involved in those. But then they turned around and said, you know what? It's that son that's going to make sure I don't go into an old people's home.
Mm.
I don't have any hope with the other children. The other children will probably just throw me in an old people's home. That son won't. That son will look after me. That son will care for me. And I think it's more what people need to understand, that the importance of the knowledge of the deen is more than just, you know, the rituals, the namaz, the salah, the hajj. It's about that that character building.
Well, you know, even thinking about that, you know, for example, if you have three children, why are you thinking about them two children that I don't think they're going to be looking after me? It's because you've done the tarbiyah to them, yes, and to him as well. Yes. So basically, so, you know,
because... No, but they haven't though. That's the problem. They haven't given that tarbiyah. But then they see that child that's been involved in Dawah Islami, he's got the tarbiyah from Dawah Islami, and now he's got that mindset. Because them three children were given the same tarbiyah, effectively. Right? But one, because he's gone off on a tangent, so to speak, and he's come back with that knowledge, with the emphasis and the importance of his parents, that parent now has that hope that child will look after them.
We had a letter from an Islamic sister, and she wrote that, you know, I had daughters and I wanted them to become, you know, good educated, and we sent them to universities and everywhere. I used to stop them from going to Dawat Islami Ijtamaz. And she says that now, I've become part of Dawat Islami and I want my daughters to join them, and now they're not coming to Dawat.
Well, with that, Hafsab, I think, you know, sometimes we you know, we give up too easily. So I think, yes, that father realized when that child went to Dawat Islami. So he needs to work extra time because Dawat Islami is going to nurture that particular child. But the two that have not been nurtured, it's still a duty for a father, a mother, or as an elder to focus on them. I think that's where we let go, that we let them be. So yeah, they are going to take time. Ultimately, they will listen. You know, only person that can bring them back is the parents.
Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Let's Talk. Now we're going to go to one of our packages and show you just one of the departments of Dawah Islami. And coincidentally, it's related to education. Let's see what the department is and then we'll discuss it when we come back. Let's go to the package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e-Islami, it's a right to...
Viewers, learning religious knowledge, subhanAllah, is obligatory for every Muslim man and woman. And alhamdulillah, becoming a religious scholar is an immense honor. Scholars, they are the inheritors of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars, they are the leaders of the Ummah. To provide the Ummah with these scholars to spread the light of religious knowledge, Dawat Islami established the department Jamaat al-Madina. Yes, Jamaat al-Madina is that institute in which we create the scholars of the future. And this Jamaat al-Madina, your Jamaat al-Madina, has performed wonders. At present, inside Pakistan and around the whole world, more than 1,500, yes, 1,500 Jamaat al-Madina institutes have been set up. You could say that 1,500 universities have been set up to provide this Dars-e-Nizami course. Allahu Akbar. Yes, these are Islamic universities throughout the whole of the world. And currently more than 128,000 students, both brothers and sisters, are acquiring the knowledge in these institutes, once again, completely free of charge. They are studying the Dars-e-Nizami and they are becoming the scholars of the future. And you will also be glad to know that so far, the number of those who have completed the Fazail-e Shariat course and Dars-e-Nizami course has reached more than 41,500. Allahu Akbar. Here in the UK, viewers, more than 100 male scholars have been created. More than 100 female scholars have been created. And here in the UK, we have 24 institutes which are spreading this knowledge throughout the whole of the UK as well.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
These scholars are also not staying in one place. They are traveling throughout the whole world. They're lighting the lamp of religious knowledge and playing the role in removing the darkness of ignorance as well. Many have become imams of masjids. Many are traveling across the world and they are bringing young Muslims into Islam. Another important point to understand is this, that amongst those thousands of students, studying a large number are also residential as well. Residential accommodation is provided for them, food is provided for them, residential fees are cost for them, completely free of charge. Your Dawah Islami does not charge them. And here in the UK alone, we have residential accommodation in Bradford, in Birmingham, in Luton as well. All completely free of charge. Like I said, Jamaat al-Madina is not only in Pakistan, it's all over the world as well. And alhamdulillah, it should also be remembered that this Dars-e-Nizami that is taught in the language of that country. For example, in Pakistan, it is taught in Urdu. Here in the UK, it is taught in English. The Jamaat al-Madinas that have been established in Africa, they've been taught in the language over there. And also in Europe, where Jamaat al-Madina has been established, the language of that country is the language in which that course is taught. Your Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, also in Turkey, we also have a Jamaat al-Madina there, and there
Dersim Nozami is being taught in Turkish as well. So let us show you some glimpses of Cemaat-ı Medine and how the process of education continues in this blessed department.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
I would like to say one thing to you, that nowadays families, they try that if only in our family there'd be one doctor, if in our family there could be one lawyer, in our family there could be one person from this background. What about having an Alim al-Deen in your family? Have a look in your family. Do you have an Alim al-Deen in your family? In whose family are the Alim al-Deens going to be created? I encourage you all that to create at least, or help or assist at least one person from your family to become an Alim al-Deen. That Alim al-Deen in your family will protect your iman. That Alim al-Deen in your family will safeguard you from committing sins. We know of the benefits of having a doctor in our family. We know of the benefits of having a doctor, a lawyer in our family. What about the benefits of having an Alim al-Deen in our family? Many, many countries have this Cemaat-ı Medine. Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, UK, Kenya, Sri Lanka, USA, Mozambique, Mauritius, Malawi, Spain, Italy, Canada, Tanzania, Lesotho, Australia, Uganda, Indonesia, Germany, and South Africa. All of these places have these Cemaat-ı Medine institutes.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold.
Respected viewers, it is very necessary that the Quran be taught, Islamic knowledge be obtained, and the people be given correct guidance. But many people want that the worldly education should also be given. And yes, in Dawat Islami's wonderful department, Cemaat-ı Medine, various language courses are also being run. Computer courses are also being taught for free as well. And for the skill development of these students, for the better fulfillment, a department has also been created, the skill enhancement program as well. Through this, which they are given language skills, IT skills, web development skills, and many other courses are being taught to them as well.
It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Cemaat-ı Medine. And there you mentioned, you saw the Cemaat-ı Medine for boys, all the video clips. There's also Cemaat-ı Medine for girls here in the UK as well. And like it was mentioned in that clip, that more than 100 scholars, UK-born scholars, have been created, male scholars have been created through the Cemaat-ı Medine Progress, six-year course. And the sisters, more than 100, five-year course. Full-time courses have also been created. The part-time courses are also there as well. And as mentioned in the clip, the Fizana Shariat course are there as well. And alhamdulillah, students are enrolling on this course up and down the country. If you are interested, as we're talking about the importance of education today, if you're interested in yourself enrolling on this course, or your children enrolling on this course to become a scholar, to serve the deen, to protect the iman, not only of you, your family, but also of future generations as well. Yeah. There should be a number at the bottom of the screen.
You know, I always ask a question. You know, when you said if you're interested, the question is, why are you not interested? If you're not interested.
Good question. Why are they not interested? Why do you think they're not interested?
Again, what we talked about, you know, at the end, what's the result going to be? But mashallah, your brother-in-law, Kaleem Bhai, you know, he's a professional and he's become an Alim al-Deen as well. We have Yusuf Bapu in Pakistan, a professional, mashallah, businessman, yet alhamdulillah has become a scholar of deen as well.
Yeah, he said, my cousin's a PhD doctorate. He's done a doctorate in chemistry, and he's a project manager at a pharmaceutical company, and he's done the Dersim Nizami as well.
So it's doable, isn't it? So again, we need to understand.
But it's like, no, but I think it's not a matter of just being doable, though, Hafiz. It's a matter of immediate importance.
Shock. No,
yeah, why do I need to do it? You know, many Muslims out there, you say to them, come on a Madri Kafla, yeah? They say, well, I know how to read my namaz. I know how to read the Quran. I know how to do wuzu. I know how to perform my ghusl. What do I need to know?
You know,
I think that mindset is, yes, you do know, but do you know really know that these things that you're reading are the correct, first of all?
Yeah, but then the question is that all? Is deen is more than just rituals, isn't it?
I think if you look at it, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created humans and jinns for His worship. I think the main purpose of educating yourself is to get to know your Creator. If you know, if no one can really say that I have got so much knowledge that I know my Allah, my Creator. You know, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man qala ana alim, fahuwa jahil." The one who says, I'm educated, is actually the one who's uneducated.
I think you're right, though, Afsab, that education, I'll be honest with you, when I did my degree, obviously I wasn't in the environment of Dar es Salaam then. I did it, obviously, for worldly benefit, right? But then as I went out into the field and I went out into industry and then I became associated with Dar es Salaam, you know, whatever I was doing in my life, you know, even in my professional life, it was bringing me closer, I feel it was bringing me closer to my creator. Mm-hmm. I was seeing things being, you know, an industry, seeing things being made or, yes. you know, even how, because it was the water industry, how water's been purified and how important water is and the blessings of water. And I'm seeing it as all that and how important water is and all these things that I'd go to. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Alhamdulillah, this is our creator that provided all of these things.
Then I personally think knowledge should be learned to get closer to your Rabb, your creator, to get to know, you know, where we're going out in the space and the deep seas, trying to look for other species. Look at yourself, and this is the basic knowledge of Islam can teach you that.
Okay, coming on now, I want to change the aspect a little bit today. I want to talk a little bit now about the teachers that impart that knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, teachers, we see that they're the ones that shape generations. And we also see that respect for teachers is part of an Islamic tradition.
Yeah.
And educational institutes guide intellectual and moral development. So, if we look talking to people out there now that, mashallah, are on this path of deen now, or they've graduated from this path of deen, and they are now, you know, serving the deen in the sense that they are now going to that area where they're going to be teaching the deen, what qualities make a good teacher?
I think a teacher should have the fear of Allah, number one. Is then they need to have that in their mind that my student should be better than me. If that is the mindset that you have, I was talking to an Imam Sahib and I was just straightforward to him. I goes, Imam Sahib, I want you to teach these guys all the masals of namaz so we can suck you and we can hire them. Or darige. I go, why are you scared for? You know, we all believe the risk is in the possession of Allah. Allah is the one. Why are you scared? You know, the thing is, if you're a teacher, you need to make sure that your students are better than you. You know, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, you touched
but
upon...
But a lot of people are scared of that, Hafiz. A lot of people will only impart knowledge on them. And I'm sorry to say this. There's masjids up and down the country where some of our scholars that are in there, they'll only teach their own children because they think that their child, if I teach him, then he'll take my job when I retire. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to pass that knowledge on to others. Am I right in saying that there's a mindset like that?
There is a mindset, yes.
Then how do we tackle that?
So with that one, I'll give a...
I'll be honest.
I'll give a tip for that. So for example, that teacher, yes, if he has a fear, but what is that teacher's progression? What is his career developments? Because he doesn't want to be a teacher all the time. What is his aspirations? So ultimately, it works both ways, Alibay, that ultimately, we're not going to be here all the time. Death will come as upon him one time. We want to have, as they say, a name al-badal already.
You want to create a legacy.
Yeah, a legacy. So yeah. Ultimately, if I'm a teacher, I want to create somebody that's going to replace me. And then I'm going to move on to the next step.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, the Islami. There are many responsibilities. So for example, if that teacher wants to become a head teacher, they can do that. Or any worldly aspects. So for example, any teachers, they need to have career goals. So their career goals, what they want to achieve. So a short-term goal or a long-term goal. And then whatever students they are teaching, they should give them ultimately. You know, I made a few notes that for a good quality for a teacher, they need to have strong knowledge of the subject. So whatever they are teaching, they need to have a very good knowledge of it. They need to have good communication skills. Because every child is going to be different. Every person that they're going to teach, they can't teach them in the exact same manner. They have to adapt it to their way. Patience is absolutely necessary. So at times, sometimes, you know, up and down the country, if you look at people, they're trying to teach somebody, or even fathers, mothers. Do we have that patience with our children? We try to teach them. Nowadays, kids are different. You have to teach them on the go. Like, for example, my child, if I was to say to him, Usman, you need to sit in one place, he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
I have to walk with him.
Yeah.
So we have to have that. And also passion for teaching and also creativity and adaptability. That's where it comes where each child is different. So nowadays we've got a lot of issues where we've got autism, ADHD. And we are going to teach those children as well. We can't close the doors to them. We want to learn. We want to create, increase our skill set that we are able to teach them. And the point that you mentioned, we need to have people ready to replace us. And we need to move on to next.
I would say, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, sadaqah jariyah, one of the sadaqah jariyah is knowledge that you leave behind. So these students that you are leaving behind, they are going to be your sadaqah jariyah. You'll be in your grave and these students, they'll be learning and teaching. You're going to get the reward for that as well. So if we have that in our mindset, you know, when you talk about the respect of parents, alhamdulillah, there's more emphasis in Islam respecting the teachers. Once Khalifa Harun Rashid, he had a son, Mamun Rashid. And one day, Khalifa Harun Rashid saw that his son, Mamun Rashid, he was holding the lota or the, what do you call a lota then in English?
A water pot.
A water pot, that's the word. Yeah. So he was holding that and the teacher was washing his feet. And Khalifa Harun Rashid got enraged, he got angry, he slapped his son and he goes, how dare you do that? And he's there, he goes, what have I done? He goes, you should be holding the lota with one hand and wash your ustad's feet the other with the other hand. Why is he washing his feet? Nowadays, you know, we have a few days ago, someone rang me when he goes, my son, his teacher said, how dare, he says, you tell him off or else, you know, he's going to face me. I go, you know, what are you trying to teach to your son? Is this what the role of, if this is what you're doing to the teacher, I guarantee you, your son's going to do the same to you as well.
Allah Akbar. So then, see, the problem is getting bigger as I'm talking to you now, isn't it? We've got a problem here that the mindset of everybody. Then we've got a problem here where the parents are not have an interest in delivering or passing on knowledge to the children. Then we've even got a problem here where our teachers don't have that mindset that they want to pass the knowledge on as well. And so now we're just left with the poor student here, yeah, that he's now facing the negativity from the parents that are saying, well, you know, you don't need to get this. The teachers are not really fully encouraging them. What do we say to the student then? How can we here, you know, putting aside all parents, putting aside all teachers, encourage everybody that's watching this program, how can we encourage them to acquire the knowledge of the deen?
I mean, then main is to see why, you know, that the cooperation is not there. So not to give up them. So what we could do, we can give them the utmost knowledge to have that patience. And inshallah, through Allah Almighty, you know, it will come. I mean, it's a sticky situation where the person's on his own. We have to give him a place to go. And alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is creating these platforms where it's an open door policy for those particular child, they can come. So if they feel that, yeah, at home is not being helped, the school is not helping them, they come into our institution, alhamdulillah. You know, the Jamiatul Madina, the package that we just touched upon there, these are the, I'd say, the future soldiers. So that inshallah, child can come to that scholar, alhamdulillah, UK born bred scholar, he's got the 6 years of the Darsi Nizami, and that child can come and speak their heart to them. And inshallah, that particular scholar can guide that children, guide that child.
I always say that you need to be loyal to your deen. You know, a teacher who is loyal to his deen, he will make sure that he produces the best teachers. You know, we have an early example. Amir al-Sunnah struggled for Dawat Islami, you know, blood, sweat, whatever he's done. And now, alhamdulillah, he's at that age, he's given it to the shura here. You do. That's being loyal to your deen. That all the struggles that I have done for Dawat Islami, now you take it further. Because he knows that, you know, these people will, inshallah, they're young yet, well, they're young. And they're going to take it further. So a teacher needs to think to himself, if he is loyal to his deen, he's going to produce the best students because the deen will carry on.
Viewers of my channel, you're watching Let's Talk, and we're going to go to the puzzle of the day. Now, when it comes to the puzzle of the day, me and Bilal Bhai cheated.
Allahu Akbar.
Today as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
But we can't lie, can we?
Yeah, we can't lie. We've seen it.
We've seen it.
Oh, but we still didn't get it.
We still didn't get it.
Oh, that's okay.
Right? So, and we were told the answer. So we thought, really, the puzzle of the day is purely for Hafiz Saab here today. So if we can have the puzzle of the day on the screen and let's see.
But you didn't get it either, so.
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, even when they told us, Hafiz Saab, I was like, no.
Well, let's see what Hafiz Saab. Can we have the puzzle of the day on the screen, please? Maybe Hafiz Saab's better than us. He'll know what it is.
Inshallah.
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
I owe you a prize if you get this. Can we have on the screen, please? Go on.
So we've got the sky.
It looks like a masjid.
It looks like a masjid, mashallah. Yeah. I think you're right so far.
It's a masjid that's near a tree. So which masjid is near a
tree? Okay, can we have another part of the screen? There, yeah. Oh, that's even easier.
So trees.
It's masjid not just near a tree. It's masjid near trees. Okay, that's made it even easier. Can we have one more?
Oh, mashallah, I've got it.
Have you?
Ji.
Go on.
Shall I say it?
Go on.
Masjid Nimra.
Subhanallah.
You know the little bute at the back, The Arafat is in.
Can we open up the whole screen, please?
This is Masjid Nimra. Yeah, there you go, Masjid Nimra.
So, Afsar, where is this? Is this the back side of it? This is on the front side of it.
I don't know which side it is.
You know, like normally when we go,
we didn't recognize it.
No, you know, normally when we go for the ziyarats, right? Yeah. You know, the coaches. This is not where the place.
That is the place, Medina, because what happens is they're doing some work on the masjid as well, aren't they now? So this is probably the latest picture. But how I found out was, you know, the bute at the back.
So where Arafat is?
Arafat Medan.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah, Hafizab. MashaAllah, Masjid al-Nimra, MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching a Lights Talk, and today we're talking about the value of education. And we've gone effectively round in circles. I feel that, you know, we've not really hit the nail on the head, so to speak, where how can we understand the value of education? Because obviously within the Deen of Islam, education is very important. And obviously alongside that is the worldly education, but it's getting the right balance. And I think that's where we struggle to get that right balance. And Bilal Bhai, you touched upon having a routine for having the right balance, but what about having the right mindset to achieve that routine?
I mean, it purely depends how we think about it, that, you know, how families bring it across. So like I think Hafizab touched it earlier upon, that within our families, we have a mindset already pre-planned in our heads that if a child wants to become pious, he's become a Maulvi, there are many downsides. But ultimately, if we have a look at all of the pious predecessors, or even nowadays society, most of the Alimuddin, they are living their lives. You know, they are got married, they've got children, they're earning, they've got houses. So Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to everybody. We've got our rizq is already written.
It's true.
It just purely depends which avenue we follow. Yeah. If we follow the dunya aspect, you'll get the dunya rizq. If you follow the deen aspect, you get the deen. But you need to have that balance of both, where ultimately, Allah Azza wa Jalla has already written for the rizq for you. So you need to make sure that you strive both. We don't put one down. I think that's what we do nowadays, that we put one down, we give superiority to one.
But then that's exactly the problem, isn't it? The problem is that people, the deen has become a hobby.
Yes. Okay?
So the dunya is my goal and the deen is a hobby, meaning something that you do when you've got time.
Yes. Okay?
I make sure I go to my lectures, I make sure I go to the university. But if I've got time, I'll go to the weekly Islam. If I've got time, I'll travel in the world. If I've got time, I'll read in Islam. If I've got time. And if I haven't got time, then doesn't worry about it, as long as I get my worldly education. So that priority isn't there, is it? That balance isn't there.
If you look at it in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about two types of people. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So that's the type of person that will take care of his deen and his dunya. And the other one, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. That he's talking about the best of this dunya, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. He has no hereafter. You know, so now it's up to us. There's two choices given us. لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. No compulsion in religion. No one's forcing me. But then I need to make that decision. Do I go for the dunya and the deen, or should I just go for the dunya? And sadly, we see that today. We went to a meeting, Halibi, we met with a businessman. And you know, what was his words? That, you know, when I came to my deen, Allah has given me dunya as well.
Yes, his story was amazing. The things he was saying, that he had become a millionaire in his early 30s. Mm-hmm. And then he went bankrupt. Right? Not only bankrupt, he went negative. And an elder saw him. And said to him that, Beta, you look upset, is everything going? I said, yes, everything's going. No, you look upset. And eventually he spoke out and he said, yeah, you know what? I'm bankrupt, I've lost everything. So he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, grab the jainamaz, sit on the jainamaz. And he said to him that, and he said to him, will my problems be solved if I do that? Yeah, sarcastically, he said to him. He said, no, your problems will get worse.
Allah.
And he said, if your problems are going to get worse, why am I going to do that then? He said, no, your problems will get worse. And then they'll get better, right? Because as you come closer to your Rabb, Shaitan will stop you and put all these obstacles in front of you. But as you get past that, your Rabb will help you. The Rabb will open doors that you can never even imagine. And you look at him, and like, you know, for him, missing namaz is like not even part of the equation, yeah? And he said to someone, he's a very successful business. He said to someone that, do you read your namaz? And the person said, no. And I said, why not? And he said, I'm busy. So he said to me, are you busier than me? Because basically he's literally one of his customers. He said, you know, I'm a multimillionaire. You know, are you busier than me? He said, I get up at 6 and I work till 10 o'clock at night. Are you busier than me? And he said, no, I'm not busy then. He said, well, if I can find time to read my namaz, how can you? Why can't you? And he said, yeah, but you know, it's difficult with this business. So he did a deal with him.
Yeah.
He said to him that, look, you read your namaz, just read your farz and your witr, read the sunnah at the moment, read the nafls, leave them at one side. From the moment you leave your chair, you do the wuzu and you read your namaz, whatever time that is, bill me.
Allah.
Send me the invoice.
Subhanallah.
And I'll pay you. And if you don't want to send me the invoice regularly, because obviously it's 5 invoices a day, he said, work out at the end of the year, when you make a note, today's 6th of March, make a note of after 1 year, however much you've lost in your business, that your business has gone down, send me that and I'll pay it all. I'll pay it all. And he said, I've encouraged about 6 or 7 people to read the namaz like that. He said, every couple of months I ring them up individually. Are you all right? Namaz, namaz, namaz. I said, yes. And like, it's that having that mindset though, isn't it? That these people that are in the dunya, they're so engrossed in the dunya, they can't find time. I remember me and Harun, barrister, we went to meet a solicitor in Manchester. And we were talking to him and he said to us that, I haven't got time for namaz, I haven't got time for namaz. And we kept on trying to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. And then we went back again to see him. And he said, you know, after you came last time, I thought about what you said, right? And he said, well, I get phone, you know, you get a phone call. I think I've mentioned this before. You get a phone call and you think, oh, it's office up. Forget this. I'm not going to answer it. Yeah. It's going to be half an hour on the phone.
I get that quite.
Forget
enough,
that. Yeah. It's Bilal Bhai or Jukra. Bilal Bhai is going to be quick, so I'll answer the phone.
Yes.
Yeah. He said, with our clients, we realize that happens. Mm. With our clients, you know who are going to be quick, right? So you look at the clock and think, yeah, I can answer this phone.
Yes.
Right? He said, so, but I realized that when a client phones up and if he's, I think he's only going to be 10 minutes, if he's on the phone for 40 minutes, I don't get angry.
No.
Because it's my job.
Yes.
Right? So then I think, look, if I can find an extra 30 minutes for a client that wasn't planned initially, surely I can find 10 minutes for salah. Mm. And he said, since that mindset came inside of me, I don't miss my salah now. So that education, that mindset is what needs to be developed, and that can only be developed with education.
And I love that you briefly mentioned that you went to these people, or these people, like that businessman, he reached out because he got that mindset for somebody. So there was a person that helped or made him realize. So nowadays, I think we have to be extra cautious. As Dawud Islamiya, I don't know, mashallah, within this 2026 vision we've got, that we're going to open opportunities for more. So we are going to, have courses for these business communities. Because at the end of the day, it's more, I think, for Dawud Islamiya now, alhamdulillah, I think we've got more work to do. That there's certain people, certain, community of people out there that we've not reached. There's certain youth out there that we've not reached. And alhamdulillah, with the youth program, the youth majlis, they managed to get, I think, 80 to 100 youths that probably will not even come to a masjid, but they got them to come to the event. And alhamdulillah, through their mindset, they come into the weekly ijtimaas. Through that mindset, they come into the kafir. So I think we need to have that go-to-go person.
So it's that mindset thing that needs to be
made. Or is it not mindset? It's that opportunity for that person to come out of their comfort zone,
yes,
to come into that, what yes, they can relate to.
Yes.
So I think that now, as Dawud Islami, we've probably got more work to do. So alhamdulillah, the departments that I look after as well, is courses, Balighan.
MashaAllah.
It's more work for me to focus on, that is my Balighans throughout the UK, accommodating everybody.
Can you explain to people what Balighan is?
Maybe so Madrasa Mubarakah Balighan is for the adults. So for those people that are above the age of 15, if they realize that their pronunciation, if their makharij are not correct, it's a department of Dawud Islami that they can come, i.e. into the masjid, or they can have one-to-one lessons, completely free, no charge whatsoever. And they'll have the opportunity to come and speak and read the Quran, read the Qaeda to a competent Muballigh, and they can pass the Madani Qaeda test and they can get their pronunciation correctly. And in terms of courses as well, alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, this year we have made many different courses. We're trying to go through it to a different batch of people. And through that infradi courses, by bringing them onto that course, we are optimistic that they will join the Mahal of Dawud Islami, or they come into the masjid or whatever masjid that they have within the locality, and they might be a businessman or they might be an influential person within their community that they can influence more people, inshallah.
Right, anyway, on that topic, can we have the question of the day, and Hafiz Saab will read out the answer. Can we have the answer on the screen, please?
Oh, I've got it right. I've got it right.
MashaAllah. Surah Yasin is known as the heart of the Quran. Today we've been talking about the value of education. And I want to, in the final moments, we started to touch upon it. Basic, the student. Be that student, be a young 12, 13, 14 year old, be that a 20 year old, be a 30, 40 year old that wants to go to Balaghat. What mindset, how can their mindset be developed to make them understand the importance and the value of education. Yes, the Islam is providing all these avenues for you, but how can you convince them? You don't want you to give them a little bit of a spiel today, Afsab. Convince these, do your nikiki dawat, your infradi coaches, and all these people that are watching you now. Why should I attach myself to Dawat Islami to acquire the knowledge of the deen?
I think that if you look at the importance of attaching yourself to Dawat Islami, you know, we all have friends, we all got relatives, we know them quite well. I always ask a question, how well do you know your creator? How well do you know your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, Azrael, is an avenue, is a way to get close to your Rabb Azza wa Jal. So come into Dawat Islami. I've had an instance where we had one parent and he used to come and say, you know, my son doesn't listen to me, you know, he's always, you know, blanking me when I, you know, he's rude to me. So I said, inshallah, get him ready for the kafila. So he got him ready for the kafila. We went there, he came back and I goes, Aziz, and he goes, mashallah, he started to offer his salah. So Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, has changed lives of millions of people for the betterment. Now his son used to, his father told me, every month he used to have a mobile phone bill of 70, 80 pounds. Now that is all khatam. Alhamdulillah, he's got good friends, he spends his time with the family, and he's, mashallah, he's a good, I think he's becoming a solicitor. You know, so the thing is, what has he lost out in his life? Nothing.
If we as individuals don't value education, if we as individuals don't respect people around us, the way that our deen has taught us, if we don't respect our parents, how can we expect our parents, our children to respect us? If we don't practice the deen in our households, how can we expect our children to practice the deen? If we don't fast in the month of Ramadan, how do we expect them to do it as well? Jibril Albay, encourage the people.
I mean, the encouragement I can give, Halabai, since I've listened to your story that day when we had that youth program in this very building about Tawfiq Bhai and Halid Bhai.
Yes.
I mean, nowadays, whenever I speak to a youngster, any person, I give him that story. So you can either be Tawfiq Bhai or Halid Bhai. Tawfiq Bhai being that he had beautiful environment, so he was involved in Dawat Islami, or he was involved in Masjid. So I didn't even mention Dawat Islami. I mentioned that, you know, they were a person that was practicing their Islam. They used to attend the masjid regularly. They used to attend the courses. And then when he passed away, he had people to do ghusl for him. He had people to lead the janazah. He had people that visited him. They took him to the graveyard and they buried him. And on the other hand, we had Halid Bhai, who was the exact same person living in the same street. They went to the same school. They were both friends. But he chose wrong environment. He chose wrong people to hang around with. He thought, oh, we're enjoying ourselves. And then he passed away on the very same night. So his so-called friends that he thought that they mean everything to him, they didn't even wait around. They left him to die alone in the hospital. When his janazah, when his ghusl happened, they were nowhere to be seen. A ghusl was done by the namazis at that masjid. His namazi janazah was led by people of the masjid. He was, you know, buried without anybody with him. So that was the, that's a story that I'm using quite often now. So if I, obviously if there's youngsters listening to that, you need to make the choice yourself. Do you want to die with beautiful people around you, or do you want to die alone and have nobody to bury you?
Allah. Viewers on the channel, you've been watching Let's Talk, and today we've been talking about the value of education, and in it we've mentioned some of the works of Dawat Islami, some of the establishments that we've created. In fact, all of them are there basically to pass on the knowledge of the deen, be it Madani Channel that you're watching right now as well. But it all comes back to a choice, and a choice is that you have to make that choice. There's a saying I use quite regularly nowadays, that you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make that horse drink the water. Dawat Islami is here to help you. Dawat Islami is here to give you that knowledge, to protect you, your iman, and the iman of future generations. But it's up to you to take that first step. And as Bilal mentioned, that story that we had here in this Berry Centre were two youngsters that were brought up in the same street, went to the same school. They made different choices, and as a result of them different choices, they ended up in different destinies. And all of us, we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, which direction are we heading in? And ask ourselves, if we continue in this direction, where will we end up? The choice is yours. You can make that change now before it's too late. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Let's Talk. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow. Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow.